Hello and welcome back to the Gucci Podcast. In this episode, we will be hearing from mother and daughter duo, Tonya Lewis-Lee and Satchel Lee, as they engage in an honest and open conversation about their quarantine. 25-year-old Satchel is no stranger to podcasts, having launched her own series this year called Release with Satchel Lee, a forum for intimate conversations about relationships, love, heartbreak and self-discovery. Satchel is a video producer, writer and photographer, and was previously creative director of the queer fashion and art publication Drome. Satchel's mother, Tonya Lewis-Lee, is a film and television producer, lawyer and founder of vitamin brand Movita Organics. She is also an author and advocate for women and children's health, and she is the wife of Academy Award-winning filmmaker Spike Lee. Listen to the women as they discuss the changes we have lived through in the last few months, what family means to them, and how they have been feeding their creativity during this uncertain time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Satchel Lee. I have a podcast called Release with Satchel Lee, where I talk to friends about sex and love and relationships and, I don't know, people, intimacy. This isn't that show, but I'm with my mother, Tonya Lewis-Lee, and we're just going to sit down and talk about what this quarantine, what this year has kind of been like for us. Hello.
Hi. It's my pleasure and my joy to be here talking with you, Satchel.
Yes. I think we should have a good time. So when I was thinking about how I wanted to like organize this, I was trying to put together like an intro that would be like fun and positive and like a engaging way to talk about just what this year has been like. But I think in truth, it hasn't really been that fun and positive.
Right.
I mean, I think for mostly everybody, I think a lot of people feel that way. Although I've talked to a lot of people who have said that this time has given them a lot of space to reflect and they feel the best that they've felt in a while.
Well, I would say that, you know, there are positives that come out of a difficult situation always, right? And I think that sometimes the situations that where we find ourselves the most uncomfortable, having to learn new skills and adjust to discomfort often are the places where we learn and grow the most. So, you know, positives do come out of dark places.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true. And I think for us, like a big part of this year has been very much like we've just been in kind of survival mode, you know, in a way that I don't think, you know, as New Yorkers, we've had to be for a while, probably since like September 11th, right? That was like the last, I mean, there was what, Sandy, which
right.
didn't really hit where we live that
right.
hard.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, that comparison to 9/11, because we were here, but then we left the city.
Right.
So we were not in the city, but we were certainly feeling it. And when we came back, I mean, we could smell the destruction all the way up here. So you still did live with it. But different this time is the idea that you have to be isolated from your friends, because we really did come together as our friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were in pain, we were confused, and so we did seek refuge with each other to get through it without hesitation. In this case, really having to withdraw, go inside, separate from friends and figure out how to survive sort of on your own or in a new way was different, you know? And so, you know, that's I guess, you know, we tried to find refuge in each other in Zooms and, you know, I talked a lot on the phone and FaceTime, you know, so we did pivot and adjust.
Absolutely.
But it was definitely different. And I would say we were concerned about the food supply potentially, you know, so really trying to make sure that we had supplies that we needed during Corona was certainly different.
Yeah, because it was very, I mean, I think, which is so interesting too, like I think humans are interesting in that like we're very good at creating and like setting up things that we feel are like normal and stable. But the truth of the matter is that I'm not sure what normal is. And I don't really think that anything is necessarily stable, right? Like it's always, it may feel stable, but we can't see in front of us, right? We don't know what's coming. So to like feel that instability in a very, and again, right? Like I think we're lucky that we don't feel that very often.
Sure.
To feel that instability of like, okay, like, are the grocery stores going to be open? Like, can we go outside? What's going on? Like, how big is this? Like, how many people are dying? They're putting up like makeshift, you know, morgues in Central Park. Yeah. What does that mean for how we just like are supposed to go about our lives?
And it's amazing because like we lived through that.
Right.
You know, and it did become very normalized very quickly, right? Like, okay. But you're right. I think that the ground is always moving underneath us. And yet we do try to set ourselves up for success, I think, as much as we can. I mean, you know, you have to live in the here and now. You've got to, you know, pay your bills to keep a roof over your head and get food in, you know, in your belly. But at the same time, you try to plan for the future when maybe you won't be working. You know, you try anyway, right? Potentially. You try to gather your food. You're like a little squirrel in the fall gathering all your food and, you know, stocking it so that hopefully, you know, if the time comes and you don't, you've got something. So, right, as human beings, you know, we are really wired for survival. Like, how do I set myself up for success for my longest survival? And it's funny because, like, you know, as you know, like part of that for me is also just taking care of my body, right? Like really, you know, making sure that I'm as fit and well as I can be, especially in a time like this. Because again, to your point, you don't know, am I going to have to use my body to get myself out of this situation? Am I going to have to run 50 miles or walk 100 miles to get someplace? You know, so I want to make sure my body's functioning in that way. So yeah, so all of that came into play as we were going through our lockdown. And who knows, we may have another one coming. Mm-hmm. But I do think that for all of us to really learn from this, and as you say, it's never as stable as we think it is. We can set ourselves up for as much success as possible, but always, as your grandfather likes to say, always be flexible and be able to pivot when need be. And so I guess that's also about being a little open-minded, right? Mm-hmm. And curious about what's happening, trying to keep in tune to what's going on in the world around you so that you're prepared for anything.
Yeah.
But you also have to have joy.
Absolutely. But I do think the open-mindedness is really important because it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people still are in denial. And I don't know what that is. I don't understand having such rigid ideas.
What our existence is supposed to be and what
right.
we are entitled to
exactly.
as human beings.
Yeah, it's like it's different now. So I understand that's how you would prefer it, but like the fact of the matter is that's not
things
what the
change.
Situation is. Yeah,
and you have to be adaptable.
Right.
And I think it's unfortunate. I think that unfortunately there are a lot of people out there who have not had great education. Who've not had great education for generations. You know, I think sometimes we forget that it's a real privilege to be able to have had an opportunity to work on one's critical thinking skills. You think that's something that just comes naturally. Mm-hmm. But critical thinking is a muscle that has to get exercised and used. And I think what has happened is that a lot of people don't have that ability to think critically and really assess the situation they're in. So they only take what's being fed them from the people that they consider their leaders. Mm-hmm. And so they can only operate based on what somebody tells them,
right?
Someone who they think is the authority, and when you're in that kind of situation, it's very dangerous for you because you can be manipulated and told what to do all the time. So I think that's what we're suffering from.
It's a bummer.
Yeah, education is important. good education is important. And everyone can learn critical thinking skills if they truly have good education.
Right. It's just like, who's gonna
exactly
fix the schools?
Exactly. And there are those people out there who don't want people to have critical thinking skills.
Well, right. Otherwise, we'd have better public schools.
And that's what they should be doing. But, you know, if the people have the ability to think critically, then, you know, they won't buy what their so-called leaders are telling them.
Right.
So then their leaders won't be in positions of power.
Yeah.
So that's what we're up against.
Well, that's that. I have these, like, fun questions. Are we talking about fashion? I don't know.
Okay, let's try.
Anyway, one of the things I think is, you know, we're both creatives. I feel like there have been, because we've been in the house, we definitely started to open up a little bit more, but it was like pretty much like 4 months straight in the house. How did you maintain your creativity? And did you have like a schedule that helped you stay on track with projects? What was that, you know?
Yeah.
Like?
So creatively, being on lockdown, you know, I did initially completely lose all sense of real sort of focus and direction for a minute. It was very difficult to stay focused. And I'm in the middle of working on a co-producing and co-directing a documentary right now. And, you know, with COVID, it sort of shut things down a little bit, and we had to think about how to get creative with our subjects. And even thinking about that, it was hard. I mean, I'm very passionate about the documentary, but it was hard for me to, like, be thinking about how to keep going on that for a minute when I was in survival mode just for us. But what I found was I had a desire to draw and to paint for some reason. It was like a different skill set, a different creative outlet that, I mean, I like to draw. I'm not a good drawer. I'm certainly not a painter. But I did have this desire to allow myself to put something out in that way, which was really great. And it felt really good to be doing that. And so I, you know, otherwise, you know, I think I was just trying to, and I think sometimes creatively, it's important to sort of feel and listen to what's going on around you to sort of fill up your well, if you will. And so I think sometimes we are so pressed to like be producing work. And in moments like what we just went through, I think it was also important to just exist and feel it, absorb it, and then in a way see what comes out later from it, you know? So I don't know. I was cleaning a lot. I was cooking a lot, drawing. And then, you know, slowly got drawn back into my work. And now work is like, it's really busy again, which is great. And I feel like more able and open and ready to like let the work come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I think I felt similarly. I don't know. It's all a blur, kind of. But definitely now people are starting to work more, right? So I see that happening, and it feels easier a little bit, you know. I guess because it's just we're not just like kind of like stuck so much. So I feel like, you know, I can produce and put stuff out there. But I don't really like, I kind of stopped doing the podcast too at the beginning of quarantine. I think I did like 2 episodes in quarantine just because, I don't know, it felt weird. I was like, I don't really know. There's a lot. I needed space to just step away and not, I guess, what I'm saying too is like what I appreciate about the time that everybody was, you know, in the house, not at work, is that we don't really ever get a chance to just like sit and be quiet.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's like you always have to do something.
Right.
The weekend doesn't really give you enough time to like actually reset and get into a mode of just like stillness.
Right.
So I think it was important to just be still. And yeah, I'm not sure.
And I don't know if you feel this way, Satchel, but I do feel sometimes in that, like that stillness and quiet is like tapping, is like trying to almost hear in another way or feel a vibration. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Really get in tune to what's happening. And like sometimes you need to be quiet in order to do that.
Definitely. In tune to what's happening and also just who, what your like actual desires are. I'm sure like a lot of people were like, oh, I hate work. You know?
Right.
Like your specific job or whatever, like there was a lot of time for reflection. So to do that and to not worry about like producing things or like deadlines, it's just good to be quiet. We don't really ever get time to do that. And I think about like other animals. I'm like, what do animals do all day? They don't do anything.
You know? That's true.
They don't.
They sleep.
And they seem fine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, well, because yeah, out in the wild, even
out
yeah,
in the wild.
And they still are able to, you know, forage for food and eat
exactly.
and find shelter and
their lives seem just as valid as anybody else's.
Right? Do they survive as long though? I don't know.
Well, I don't think so. But that's okay. Do you find that there are certain rituals or routines that you have that allow you to drop down into like a creative space?
Ever since I was young, the one thing that I do when I'm really getting ready is I have to clean. Like, that's one ritual. Like, just really, I really get everything cleaned, organized, open up my space a little bit so that the air feels like it's flowing properly, not, like, stuck by stuff that's in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And then just getting to the desk. You know, just getting to the desk, setting the chair at the right height, and honestly, I think now for me too, it's like there was a time where I used to say, oh, when I'm really being in a creative mode, I can't exercise. But that's not the case anymore. Like working out, just giving myself a half hour or something and getting my 2 cups of coffee and my smoothie in the morning. And then I'm really ready to do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really feeds it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Do you have like rituals with your work?
I always make my bed. That really, I can't really do anything unless my bed is made. And I burn a lot of stuff in my room too. Like, you know, Palo Santos or sage or incense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If the summer's, you know, I open my windows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love to have the windows open. Yeah, so just kind of, again, it's like setting the stage. I mean, even if I just sit on the couch for the rest of the day, I still have to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if it's necessarily a ritual for like creative stuff, but that's definitely like a system that I have.
Yeah, having those kinds of systems in place are great. Like like how you set up your day.
Right.
And I'm similar, like I make up my bed, you know, there are certain things that, you know, get the day started right.
Yeah.
And then I know, you know, I'm off to the whatever.
Right. Just makes it a little bit easier to manage, I feel like.
Yeah, well, if you start your day off somewhat ordered, you know, the other thing I really like to do too, as you know, are my crossword puzzles and my mm-hmm. spelling bees. Like, right. I know it's such a nerdy thing, but it's like brain exercise to me.
Yeah.
That's like a way to get my brain moving. Like, okay, right, we're on now.
Right.
And then, you know.
I really don't like trivia though.
Trivia?
I just don't like being quizzed.
Yeah. Well, but you're good with those spelling bees though.
Yeah, the spelling bees I can kind of do, but the I feel like crossword puzzles are just like trivia.
In a way, yeah.
Don't quiz me.
But like, that's what I like about the puzzle, like, because a lot of what I do like is puzzle. They're like puzzles, like, you know, problem solving, you know, trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
looking for a pattern. And so that's why like the crossword puzzle and even the spelling bees are really helpful to me, because it's the same thing. It's like putting it together,
right.
Finding the pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you were cooking a lot, and you have been cooking a lot during quarantine. What has that done or allowed for you? I know.
Yes. Well, it's been, first of all, I have found a joy in cooking. Like, it is, what I have discovered is that it's really not that hard. If you plan and you have what you need in the house, then it's, and you just think a little bit ahead of time, it's really not that hard. And I love cooking my own food. I feel like I'm eating better. I know what I'm eating. And it's been really great. It was really, I will say, you know, during that time, having dinner with like you and your father and, you know, your brother just coming together at the table every night. Like, you know, we hadn't done that since you guys were very little. And so, so that just was a joy. And it just, you know, it feels good to be able to feed the family too on my own, to be able to cook food and sustain us in a really healthy way. It's been, it's really, really great. And I hope to continue doing it. I'm still cooking and I hope to maintain that. And also just like having that space in the day, again, like just create a different creative outlet to, you know, it's an amazing thing when you, you know, sometimes like just before cooking, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pull this meal together? And then you start doing it. And then all of a sudden, you have a meal done. Right. It's like, it's really kind of amazing. And, you know, it's a small accomplishment, but I get joy out of that.
Yeah. Well, and then that's another thing, right? I like just cooking, feeding yourself. Like, that's so important to do. I feel like being in New York, I don't know what it's like in other cities, but like, I feel like we definitely like order delivery more than any other place in the world. I can't imagine that we don't.
We certainly, as a family, you know, ended up relying on takeout. I don't know what happened when that transition happened, like to like, because I used to cook when you were little a little bit, and then I stopped doing that, and somehow we got into just takeout because it's fast and easy, and you know, everyone was busy,
right?
But yeah, a lot of people order because it's easy.
It's easy. And I guess people don't have the space too, also for kitchens. I mean, you don't really need much, I don't think, but you can cook on a stovetop, fire top. But it's also a skill. I don't think that like it's really, there are like a bunch of skills that aren't like taught in like school.
Well, see, I had home ec. Right. When I was coming up in high school,
Did the boys have to take that?
Yeah, we had to take home economics to graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have that, you know? And you know, Spencer, my dear friend, often talks about, like, how he had to take home economics. That's why he cooks so well.
Yeah.
You know, like, I agree with you. Like, that's a basic skill that you should be able to do. Yeah,
we had, like, a restaurant management class.
Of course you did.
But no cooking.
Golly,
class.
These schools, they're too much.
Yeah.
Learn how to balance a checkbook and, you know, make a meal.
Yeah. I can cook. I can make things, but it's definitely,
you can certainly bake too.
Yeah, and I can bake. But just to that's an important skill that I think has been, again, like highlighted during this time. The importance of like, okay, what happens if nobody's delivering?
Right.
Can you eat?
And can you cook for yourself? And then like having fun with like herbs, like with rosemary and cilantro and basil, like finding that, like what can you do with like real garlic? You don't just have to use garlic powder. Like you use real garlic. Things like that that really bring out flavor and it's kind of fun. And yeah, it's okay if you mess up sometimes. It happens.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that you can't try again.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to continue my cooking journey after this craziness. So while we were in quarantine, obviously the death of George Floyd triggered the Black Lives Matter movement protests all across the country. What has that been like to watch all of that happen?
You know, it's been amazing, actually, to see all of these people come out. And I mean, it's, wow, what a time we have been through from COVID to the protests. I mean, I just, as you're saying that, just thinking about hearing the protesters coming up the street and what that all has been and the energy of all of the people of all different races and backgrounds coming out to finally stand up and say, hold on a second, that's a human rights violation that's happening. That's wrong. And as human beings who care about the future of the human race, we cannot stand for that anymore. Has been amazing. Watching you know, sort of some of the Confederate statues coming down, the Confederate flag coming off of the Mississippi state flag. It feels like there is real change in the air. But then the idea that John Lewis just died. I mean, it's just it feels like it's a time of real change happening in every way for us as Americans, certainly. And I know it's a global thing, but it does feel like certainly here in America at home that real change is afoot. Now, what does that mean really for the future, right? Is this just a moment or is it going to really be lasting? And I think that we're about to head into an election, which is going to be really the answer, right? Is this a moment or is it really something sustaining? We've still come a really long way, right? I mean, as a nation and a people, and we've made progress and we've slid backwards. I mean, you know, our ancestors were brought over here in the bottom of boats, forced into labor, and here you and I are. And, and we are where we are because of the work of a lot of people. And I think, yes, we still have a long way to go, but for me, sitting here in my age, in my generation, and to see what's happening in this moment right now, I'm seeing signs of significant movement in a way, at least symbolically. Now, that's what I mean. What happens really is the question.
How do we achieve, or how do you think we might achieve, like, actionable change?
I think it starts with leadership from the people, which is why it's great to see all of these people out in the streets protesting and to see leaders of Black Lives Matter emerge. And you know, I think it's important. Leadership matters. So we need that leadership. Hollywood has an impact. The images that we see coming out of media, and I'm seeing evolution in that too. What's on and whose voices are being heard. So as more diverse voices are able to share their varied and vast and interesting experiences, that opens people's minds as well. I am grateful to our street documentarians, like the young woman who captured George Floyd's murder. They need to keep doing what they're doing, because without them, these things don't get to the forefront. So I think the way we see actionable change, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
What you do, Satchel, with your platform, your voice, big or small, it matters. And it's always got to be, you know, in a way, like sometimes it's heavy because, like, sometimes you just want to have fun and I don't want to think about all these issues. I just want to, you know, but, like, it's like behind all the work that you do has to be the thought about how am I contributing to pushing it forward.
During this time, what have you taken away?
from this time of being in quarantine? What lessons have I learned? Well, I would say that I knew before, but very clear on now, that if I'm in a pinch or, you know, I'm in a survival mode, Satchel's my partner, my ride or die. I know that. I know who I can really count on. And that's amazing. And it's amazing to know that about you. It's amazing to know that about myself. You know, like I can take care of myself. I can handle myself. And I guess the thing now is to really just think about how to keep moving good, positive energy forward so the next generation inherits, you know, a planet that is sustainable for them.
Right. I feel similarly. That this has just been a good time to like tap into just gratitude, you know, because it was a bad situation, but it could have been so much worse.
And we're lucky. I mean, we didn't have any family that, I mean, we know people who died, but you know.
Yeah. No, but we're extremely lucky. And like you said, blessed. And that's something to always think about. And like you said, right, everybody who, you know, essential workers, everybody in the grocery stores and the pharmacies, the Subway was still running, people who were doing that. Like, it just, you know, that's...
Sanitation,
everything. That's massive. Yeah. So, very grateful. Cool. Well, I think we talked about a bunch of stuff. Is there anything else?
No, not that I can think of. This was our, white table talk.
Right. Exactly. Oh. Yeah. A little bit different.
Yes, a little different.
Cool. Okay, well, thank you so much for sitting down with me at the table.
So fun talking to you, Satchel.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thanks, Gucci.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gucci Podcast, featuring Satchel Lee and her mother, Tonya Lewis Lee. Find out more about their creative work in the episode notes.